Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Blessed are you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise, O God, for your awesome love and your care for us. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you for the privilege and the strength accorded us, O God, to be in your presence once again. Thank you, Father, for the move of your Spirit. Let it bring about transformation in every area of our lives. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. Amen and amen. God is good. Amen. I celebrate you all with thanksgiving. I thank God for each one that is here present tonight. The God we serve is faithful. He's a God who loves us. If there's anything I want you to always remember, no matter what's happening in your life, is that God loves you. Don't ever forget that. In the good times and the bad times, God loves you. Don't ever forget. You may be all messed up, all dirty, in a big mess. God still loves you. It is your knowing that God loves you that brings you to that place where your life aligns back to wholeness. The prodigal son that left home and messed up everything in his life, that was in the state in his life where a Jewish young man was just ready to fight with the pigs, to eat the food meant for pigs. He remembered, in my father's house, the servants are doing okay. What am I doing here? Let me go back home. I'm just going to ask my father and say, I am not worthy to be called your son anymore. Just make me one of your servants. Even though he came back home, not because he wanted to be a son and continue as a son, but came home because of the stuff. That's what got him back, the stuff. And he said to his father, I'm not worthy to be your son. The father did not even mind him. Father saw him afar off and ran to him, hugged him, put the new clothes on him, even before he had a bath. The father decided, I'm not going to let anybody else see that my son came back broke and defeated, a mess. I'm going to put the brand new clothes on him. I'm going to put on him good clothes so that all the people see is that my son is fine. Don't ever forget that God loves you. It is not God's will to shame you at any time in your life. This God that you and I serve is altogether love. He is altogether love. He is love. God is love. God is a spirit. For the word of God says, God is love. Not some kind of love. God is love. So easy to run away from God when you mess up. Oh, God, I don't think God is going to forgive me. I don't think God is going to, let me off the hook on this one. You don't know what God is going to do. You don't have a clue what God is going to do. Just like that father with his arms wide open, just like that father saw the young man while he was a distance away. God knows you intimately. He knows how you walk. You know, Mama and I travel quite a bit together, and now and then she's somewhere, and maybe she went to use the ladies' room or went to get something in the lounge, and while I'm looking in a different direction, I can tell when Mama is coming. There is a way that she walks, and I can tell her steps. Well, if Mama is coming, and there, of course, she is. Do you know you can know somebody that closely if you know their steps? God knows you. He knows whether you drag one foot while you're walking, or whether you're a stomper or a light walker. He knows you. Someone say, God knows me. And with all of that knowing, he still loves me. God knows your thoughts. Even before you think it, before you get to thinking it, he knows what you're going to think. He knows what you're going to do. He knows those times when you are manipulative. You know, sometimes we're trying to manipulate. God knows that too. And say, look at him. Okay, this is what he's going to do now. Okay, yeah. But I still love him. I remember one day ministering the prayer line. One of his sons in the house came up. The Lord says, tell him I know how messed up he is, but I love him. I love him with his messy self. I love him. Someone said, God loves me. Now, we must not abuse the love of God. The word of God says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, when we didn't have the capacity to live the way we should, in due time, Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, that Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely, for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. God commended his love towards us. God commended his love towards me, towards you. When? When we were perfect and we were okay and nothing was wrong with us. Is that what the word of God says? No. It says, while we were what? Yet. Not even while we were sinners. He puts the word yet. Because You see, they yet determines that God does not expect you to continue in sin. I'm going to fix you. I'm going to love you until you love me back. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While I was yet a sinner, he died for me. It was not when I became perfect, when I did everything right. No, while I was yet sinning, while I was still identified with sin, that's when he died. The godly for the ungodly. And tonight I want us to be reminded of this. I asked the Lord, why do you want me to preach this word tonight? He says, it is not just for my people to hear it, but for my people to share it. Let me say that again. It's not just for you to hear it, but so that you share it. When we understand that God loves, we become less critical and judgmental. We just choose to love when people don't deserve to be loved. When people don't deserve to be people that you're kind to because they've been unkind. Love overrides. The word of God says, love covereth a multitude of sins. So my love for you is not because you're doing everything right. You're saying everything right. Because that same love of God that he commends and gave to us while we're yet sinners is the same love God in us. How many of you know God is in you? That is the same love God wants you to share with other people. To love them. Now what does love mean? Does love mean that you tolerate and okay everything? No. That's not what. Love means, the agape love of God means that God does what is right for me. Sometimes the love of God will let you hit rock bottom. If you don't want to learn, he will let you hit rock bottom so that you can cry out of a heart that desires change. Sometimes God's love will keep you away from the mess. But sometimes he will let you stick your hand in the fire so that you learn not to stick your hand in the fire. You say, oh, that's not nice. Oh, but some people will not learn until. Hello? Some people absolutely will not learn until they learn. And if that's how you want to deal, God's love will help you. He will help you to learn the way you choose to learn. You want to go the easy way? I'll go the easy way with you. You want to learn the hard way? I'll go the hard way with you. You see, the prodigal son, when he took his inheritance before time, the father knew he was going to blow it. This son of mine is going to blow it. So you want it? Here it is. You're going to learn. But I'll be here waiting for you. I'll be here because I love you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am here with you in the midst of the trouble. I'm going to sit here with you. I'm going to carry you through it. But one thing I'm not going to let happen is you getting destroyed. No, I'm not willing that you perish. The word of God says, God is not willing that any one of us perish, but that all come to repentance. He doesn't want you in pain. He doesn't want you messed up. But he will hang with you until you wake up and recognize, I need God in my life. I need God in my life. I cannot do without God in my life. I've tried everything and it's not working. One of the books in the Bible that I encourage you to read is the book of Hosea. Hosea was married to a wayward woman, and no matter what he did, she will get out of the house and mess herself and prostitute herself away. And God will say to Hosea, get her back. And every time she comes in, and then she goes out again, you know, hang out and hit the rock bottom, and Hosea is there again. And God says, that's like my people. You keep on doing the same mess up story. But in your mess, I am going to bring forth a message. In your testing, I'm going to bring forth a testimony. That's what I'm going to do. You are not going to escape my love. Everywhere you go, my love will pursue you. My love will pursue you. The reality is, it is not one-sided. You have to accept the love of God. You have to receive it. If you don't receive it, it won't work for you. At some point, you have to receive that love of God. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Present tense continues. You're justified, justified in the past, justified in the present, justified in the future. Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Because we're justified by his blood, we'll be saved from wrath. What wrath? The wrath that is coming against the world. Do you understand that the Bible tells us very clearly that hell was not made for any man? Well, hell is for the devil. But the amazing thing is that hell is not the final place. The Bible tells us that even hell is cast into the lake of fire. And the only persons that will end up there are those who continue to hang around with the devil. If you choose to receive this fake love of the devil that promises you the whole world, but it's all empty. He promises you wealth and riches. Oh, you get it. Yeah, you get it. But the end thereof is destruction. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of it is destruction. The effectiveness of the lies of the enemy is that he makes promises and he keeps it partially. But when he's gotten you hooked, he will mess up with your mind, drain you that you do not recognize your pain anymore. Are you with me? There are people who got the drug high and now they're on the streets. It is minus 30 and they don't know where they are. So when you don't know where you are, you don't have enough sense to make the right decisions. That's how the devil works. He promises you the world. He promises you fame. And when you are being celebrated and everybody's so excited about you, he gives you a plane crash. Your story's done. When you think, I'm at the top of the world, a heart attack in the pool, gone. You don't even have the time to change, because the devil will engage you in a covenant. And the end of that covenant is you pay up. That's why our world is falling apart. The stars that we celebrate in Hollywood and the musicians and whoever else, their lives end up being nothing. You've gained the whole world and you lost your soul. God intends to justify us by his blood. When God justifies you, the best way I can explain justification to you is two ways. Justification stands for just as if I have never sinned. Just as if I have not sinned. That's justification. But justification is not just as if I've not sinned. Justification is that which puts the line boundaries for you. You know, in the old days, we used to use the typewriter, and they would talk about justifying your lines. So every time you hit the end, it will return, and your lines are justified. Are we together so far? Justification is God putting boundaries in your life. Discipline, order, so that you are not floundering all over the place, being tossed to and fro. You are settled and focused, and God is guiding you step by step by step by step, because you are making decisions based on the love of God for you. God loves me. I don't want to hurt him. God loves me, and things can be better for me. I make a choice. Do you know that the decisions that we make daily affect every aspect of our lives? The decisions you and I make will determine where we are heading. And God wants us to understand that there is justification available so that we are saved from wrath. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Who's an enemy? The Bible tells us that a carnal-minded person is an enemy of God. When we were still being led by the systems of this world, God reconciled us to himself. How? By the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It's not just by his death, it is also by his life. In his death, he took on our sins. You were crucified with him. But if it were just dying, then the work is not complete. He was raised again from the dead, and you and I were raised again from the dead. And when we got raised again from the dead, the Bible tells us that when Jesus rose again from the dead, distance was no issue. Barriers were no issue. He went through walls as if the walls did not exist. He showed up wherever it is that he wanted to show up without physical transportation. And when he says we shall be saved by his life, God is in the reconciliation, bringing us to that place of awareness by the Spirit and in the Spirit, where we are walking with Him, living the God life with a God capacity. The Word of God says to us that when we are converted, we get healed. Amen. God converts you from one system to the other. And somebody who's been beaten down emotionally, mentally, physically, you've been abused and you've been told that you will never accomplish anything in your life. When you experience the conversion of God, all of a sudden, your thinking changes and everything begins to fall into place. And a man who was nobody, all of a sudden, is right on top, changed. But it happens in here. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God saves us and gives us His life, His Zoe life. And we begin to think the way God thinks. Prior to that, the Word of God says, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And the reason He says that is because He wants to elevate us to the place where we start thinking the way He thinks. And acting the way He acts. We start talking the way God talks. We refuse to accept the lies of the enemy. We receive the capacity of God to love, to will things into place. Because that's what His word of reconciliation brings about. If any man be in Christ, that man is a new creation. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, 17, 18, and 19. Hear what the Word of God says. This is how the change takes place. This is how justification takes place. This is how every aspect of life, of our lives change. The Word of God says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more after the flesh. While He was here on the earth, He operated in this earth realm in a particular way. But God wants you now to think of yourself and relate with Christ, not just at the point of His death, but in the connectivity, relationship of the Spirit. Where is He? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that you are in Him. And in Him, you are now far above principalities, far above powers, far above the rulers of the darkness of this world, far above all spiritual wickedness. You are far above. And the only way the enemy can successfully target you is when you are thinking earthly. When you are earthly, fleshy, carnal, the enemy can get you. But if you are connected by the Spirit, because you are looking at Him, at where He is now, not where He was. Where He was after the flesh, listen to this. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in every area, That's the earthly Jesus. Hello? Guess what? He cannot be tempted in the heavenlies. And if you're seated in the heavenlies and you're focused in the heavenlies, temptation becomes totally dumbed out. The reason we fight and struggle about the life of holiness and righteousness is because we are still very earthy, fleshy, carnal. Hello? Oh, Lord, help me here. We've been carnal-minded. And in being carnal, we convert ourselves back to the flesh ways. If I'm acting carnally, I get tempted. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying to you. If I'm acting, looking at him, the author and the finisher of my faith, it doesn't matter what I'm, where I am. There's no temptation. If I'm being bombarded by temptation for this and temptation for that, something has gone screwy. Something is happening that is saying, I am not being heavenly minded. I am earthly minded. And earthly minded, looking at Jesus at the earthly minded set, exposes you to temptation. I hope you're hearing me. Because it's the earthly Jesus that's been tempted. The heavenly Jesus that God says you should be connected to can't be tempted by anything. Is it possible that's partly why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his what? Righteousness. Look at that. Kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. When you are kingdom-minded, seated with him in heavenly places, every other thing gets added to you. Whatever else, the Bible says, your heavenly Father knoweth what you need. And you don't even have to ask for it. He needs a car. He needs an airplane. He needs a helicopter. He needs a brand new suit. He needs brand new shoes. I don't even have to ask for it. It happens because of my connectivity with him. And the father that I'm connected to knows what the needs of his children are. If we are in the asking place, you're asking for this and asking for that and asking for this, there's nothing wrong with it, but it just means that you've not arrived. That's what it means. You've not arrived. And guess what my problem is? I haven't arrived because I'm still in the asking mode. But God is saying to me, son, come on. Let's go past this asking thing. Just be like me. And things are going to happen. Just be like me. And whatever it is that you need, you will receive because it's already provided for. Whatever it is that you need done, is going to happen. You don't know the word of God says that God answers us before we even pray? Yes, is that what the word of God says? Yes. Because he already knows what you're going to ask. Prayer is not as much of asking, even though it starts out that way. Prayer becomes your discussion with the Father, talking with the Father. This is what's happening. I need to accomplish this. I feel led to do this. And God says, you're going to need this if you're going to do that. Put that in place for him. You need to accomplish this, and you don't have the resources to do it. Don't fret and worry about it. God knows what he's going to do. You're converted. You have his heart. And he has you in the palm of his hands. Because he loved you. If I have to spend most of my time praying, asking for stuff, it means that my relationship is not where it should be. I want you to think about that. Have a Sila moment. Think about that. If I am dwelling in the place of asking, it means my relationship is not where it should be. And the reality, child of God, is this, that God doesn't want us stuck. He wants us to continue to grow. From glory to glory to glory. Where are you in the spectrum of things? And where can you and I be in the spectrum of things? What is it that is still capturing my mind, my emotions? Can anything be done about it? A lot can be done. And it's simple. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you are in Christ, that man is a new creature. The only thing that causes you to experience the new creature aspect is that you be in him. It is in Christ that God forms you. So the word of God says in Romans 12, don't be poured into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove that which is God's good, perfect, or good, acceptable, and perfect will. And to every one of us has been given a measure of faith. What you need to be everything God says you can be. You become a new creature as you see yourself in Christ. He says, behold, all things are become new. In Christ, everything is new. Nothing is old. Everything about you is new. You have a new identity. You have a new name. You have change in every area, and the newness of God is orchestrated and established. You see, in Christ, you are daily loaded with new benefits every day in Christ. The blessings of God are new every day. God has something new for you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has something new for me today. I can have new experiences every day in Christ Jesus. Everything about me becomes new. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, It says, and all things are of God. What are all these all things? All things that are new. They are of God. The God who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. By the very act of reconciliation, everything becomes new in my life. How do I receive it? By faith. The justified or the just are justified by faith. Amen? I am crucified with Christ, meaning I died with him. Nevertheless, I live. That means I rose with him. Yet not I, it is Christ, the anointed one. Praise God. It is Christ, the one that is living in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God, who did what? Loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. He exchanged places with me. Wow. I'm reconciled. And not only has he reconciled me, he had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So God says, hey, you reconciled to me, but now I want you to share that message of reconciliation with other people. What we're hearing today, God wants us not only for us to hear it, but for us to live it out and share it. That's a sign that you are living. Share it. Tell your friend, tell your brother, tell your sister. It doesn't matter what their faith is, just tell them about the love of God, and pretty soon they're going to find out, wait a minute, whatever it is I'm doing right now isn't working. God loves me, but and gave himself for me. But the religion I'm in right now wants everything from me and isn't willing to give me anything, but I don't know how many wives. you're going to die and have all these wives. What is that all about? Huh? What is that about? You can't even handle one wife now. Now you want seven. It'll drive you up the wall. No, God's peace garrisons your heart. Oh, you know, I have to try my best, and I haven't tried my best. Maybe I will come back as an ant. Or maybe a cow, holy cow. Well, somebody's going to eat you. No, that's not what God says. God loves you and wants you to be like him. Not an ant. Not some monkey. Woo, 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 Tarzan. No, God wants you to be his person, created in his image and likeness. And it starts now. It starts now. Hallelujah. Eternal life is not when you die. Eternal life is now, or else it's not eternal. God wants you and I to live, and to live life to the full. It is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus our Lord says, but I have come that you might have life, and have it abundantly. Abundant life. Glory be to God. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And look at what he says next. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. What should have been assigned to you, that was going to demand judgment, he took on himself. He took on, not imputing trespasses unto you and I, but what? And had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Oh, I'm so perfect now, that's when I'll be able to share the gospel. No, the word of God says no. That's not when. It is you coming and saying, listen, the mercy of God is working in my life, and I have the peace of God. But it's not because I'm doing all the right things, but because he's done all the right things for me. And I rely on his capacity. And in my reliance, things are changing in my life. Day by day, God is revealing more of himself to me, and I'm able to turn things over that I thought I couldn't let go of. And the closer I come to him, the more I see things that need to be changed in me, and I couldn't have been able to do any of it if it were not for his mercy and because of his grace. Oh, but you just messed up. I saw you messed up. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? While I was yet a sinner, he loved me. And he still loves me now. And he's helping me. You know, tomorrow, you watch, tomorrow I might not be that same person because I'm changing day by day. I'm becoming more like him. I'm being transformed. I'm being renewed. I am being formed by his very life. I'm becoming a new person. Change is happening. I'm being transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thinking's got to change. And as it changes, you change. You are exactly what you think you are. You think of yourself as a nobody. That you are. You know what true humility is? Your true humility is you agreeing with what God says about you. That's what true humility is. God says, you're righteous. Humility says, I am righteous. The world will say, you arrogant fool, you cannot be righteous. You're a sinner. But God says, no, he's a saint. So I say, I'm a saint. I'm agreeing with what God says. That's what confession is, saying the same thing. Homologia. What God says about you is what you meant to say. And when you say what God says about you, you change. You don't change with you trying in your own strength and your own ability. You fail every time. Because your righteousness is as filthy rags before God. You take on the righteousness that is given to you. And it's created in true holiness. It's already done. Put that on, Ephesians says. Put that on. Every day, if you don't know what to pray, just simply say, I put on Christ. I am in Christ. Just like I'm in this jacket, I am in Christ. And because I am in Christ, the only thing the devil sees is Christ. For the word of God says, I'm hidden in Christ, hidden in the Father. If the devil has to see you and fight with you, you're going to lose. Be in Christ. In Christ you are hidden. In Christ you are established. In Christ you are blessed and highly favored. In Christ you are reconciled to God. You are not an enemy of God. God is not going to fight against you. You're on the same side. And if God be for me, who can be against me? You want to win? Know the power of reconciliation. Reconciled. Let me end. With this thought, the Word of God is saying to us that we need to be reconciled. Now, for some of you, you've heard me talk about this before. The word reconciled is the Greek word katalage. If you've heard me talk about katalage before, you will remember that I said to us that katalage is the Greek word for atonement. And if you remember that much, then you must remember that katalage is an accounting word, which means that God, not just covering the sins, as in the Old Testament, Kippur, but katalage is that stage where God elevates you to an equal level. It's an exchange statement. So, if a dollar is equivalent to $3 or $3 in some currency, okay? Katalage brings those two together. And when God talks about reconciliation, He's saying, I'm bringing you to a place where you match up with me. You are just like me. I'm infusing into you my attributes, my capacity. I want you to connect. And in that place of connection, He says, I'll make you my ambassador. I'm going to make you my ambassador. What does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? It means that the qualities of the kingdom that you're representing, of the Christ that you're representing, funds you, protects you, provides for you. An ambassador does not provide his income. The government he represents provides that. In fact, with his income, he's been paid, but whatever it is that the ambassador needs is provided for from his home government. So that ambassador doesn't need to spend a dime of his own money. Even though he's been paid to represent his government, the government provides everything he needs. The government provides his transportation, and the transportation that he has is the embassy. The house he lives in, the ambassador's house, is like the embassy. He doesn't travel alone anymore. He's a diplomat. And now when he moves from point A to point B, there's an emissary that follows him. The security force follows him. He's protected. He's provided for. He has diplomatic immunity. In other words, the country where he is cannot prosecute him. This is good. He's an ambassador. So even when he messed up, unless his nation calls him back, the nation where he is at cannot do anything to him. He is an ambassador. Diplomatic immunity. That's why you must not receive the condemnation of the enemy. Amen. I have diplomatic immunity. I answer to my government. Now, that's good and bad. Because if your government calls you back when you're a Christian, you might be dead. So, this guy is messing up. Call him back here. You might still be saved, but you're not going to be operating here anymore. Do you get it? You understand? But this is what I love most about the ambassador. The country where he's functioning at protects him also. I want you to learn this. This is important. The country where he lives at protects him also. So the ambassador of the United States in Canada is not only protected by the U.S. government, but the Canadian government protects him. Because to hurt that ambassador can mean war. So guess what? Yes, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that the god of this world is the devil. So what does that mean? That while you are in the earth, even the devil has to make sure that you are okay. Hear it. When you are carrying the message of reconciliation, oh, this is good. If you're an ambassador, then you're representing your home government. If you are an ambassador and you're not representing your home government, you're going to be called back and you don't have that immunity. How do we become ambassadors? By the ministry of reconciliation, but also by the very fact that we are willing to share the gospel. So when you are sharing the gospel, you have immunity, you have coverage, you have protection because you are an ambassador. That's why the word of God says, he that winneth souls is wise. If you want to be a wise man and a wise woman and you want to complete your race without falling apart, preach the gospel. Tell people about God's love for them. You don't tell them, sorry, you can get messed up. Tell it day and night, everywhere. We used to sing that old chorus, Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell the story. It's for your good. Amen? When you tell it, you change. When I got saved, change was drastic. The new life was my new normal, and the old really was wiped out. My thinking did not connect with the old man anymore. Within 2 days, I got saved on a Friday. By the Sunday, the change was so drastic, everybody knew it but me. Because I moved from this side to this side, and I was walking on this side, and this was normal. Living a pure life was normal. It was not a struggle. I didn't have to struggle to quit smoking. I didn't have to struggle to stop lusting. I didn't have to struggle to stop drinking. I didn't have to struggle to do any of that. It was just totally different. The change was so drastic. It was people who said, telling me, you've changed. My dad said, you've changed. My friend said, you've changed. And on the day that I changed, this is the craziest part of this whole testimony, is I was sitting across from the pastor who was busy exposing me of my sins, telling me about all the things I was doing hundreds of miles away. And I was so mad, I wanted to punch the pastor in the face. Huh? So I was that typical prodigal son. And what got me to stop was he said, you're my junior brother, why are you acting like this? Now that just flipped me. I was going to hit this guy now. I was going to hit him. But he said, one of these days, Jesus is going to come back. And I'm going to be caught up to be with him, and your father is going to be caught up with him. And you're going to be left behind. I said, huh? What? I'm going to lose my father? No way. So while I was still upset with this guy, I gave my life to the Lord. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. But I was ready to still punch this guy. Did you know God accepted that and says, we better save this guy now. We better save him now. He accepted that, and it was like a weight load of sin was dropped off of me. I walked off that place lighter. I didn't tell him that I just gave my life to the Lord, but my life changed. You give God an opportunity, God will show you his goodness. I stand here to tell you that's the truth. God will show you his goodness. Because he loves you. I challenge everyone here today to be an ambassador. Tell people about God's love. If you mess up, repent. Get back to the right place. But never give up continuing with God. He says, you're my disciples indeed if you continue in my word. And the word that you continue in is going to be the word that transforms your life. The truth that you know will set you free. Amen? I pray that something that was said tonight caught your attention, not only for your own personal growth, but to help you share the love of God with people everywhere. Praise the Lord. Please continue to pray with and for us. God opens doors for us to minister His word. We're going to be doing a crusade in the next, week and a half. We're going to be speaking to thousands of people. Each time we share the word of God, God has shown Himself strong. People come to God. People are healed. And the first crusade that we're doing at the beginning of March, we primarily need Bibles. I'd like for us to be able to have a few hundreds, 500, 1,000 Bibles, if possible, for all those that are going to be coming. But at the end, towards the end of April, we're going to have another crusade, and that's going to cost close to $20,000 at the very minimum. We need to help bus people to the grounds. There might be 100, 200,000 people in that particular crusade. God has used us to impact so many lives. We want to bring the word of reconciliation to a people that have never heard the gospel. The pastor called while we were in Toronto this week passed and said, "We know we're having a crusade in April, but there's a team that's gathering. They're already in the grounds right now, going through 20 communities, and they're going to bring them to a particular site. All you need to do is just come preach. And if you can help with Bibles, that'll be great. We need Bibles. But the cost of taking care of the workers, being there, they've been there already. They're already there, canvassing right now. So for the next 2 weeks, they're going to be there. And then another week or two after that, discipling at the risk of their lives. Certainly, we can do a little bit. We can bring Bibles. We can have them have Bibles. Amen? So, those are some opportunities for us. Whatever it is that you feel led to give towards the crusades will be greatly appreciated. God is turning lives around. I'm not mentioning the nation that this is going to be happening because I have to keep that quiet. In fact, they've marked me in that nation already. Because we've been so impactful. God has been gracious. Amen. But we need to, I just encourage you, do your best. Let's win souls. Pray for me that I be effective. Because what do you say to people? People don't get saved by your logical thinking. They get saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Tonight I remind myself, as I remind you, don't be earthly minded. Be spiritual, heavenly minded. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let us honor God with our giving. And I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday for our time together. And Friday for a prayer meeting. And then, of course, next Sunday. I don't know if there's anyone on Zoom. My screen is dark. But I want to say hello to the young man over there. I have not seen him before. Well, bless you. Awesome. Okay. I have the Minot family. I have